Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title with the play.
Samayani24, and I am the playwright and performer in Dare Maple.
And it's going to be streaming courtesy of Mosaic Theater now through January 18th. Thanks so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jason. Definitely.
All right. So this pandemic is here. This pandemic has thrown, you know, live theater totally into whack, but I wanted to highlight everything that we possibly can as it's sort of developing, workshopping, all that stuff. So tell me sort of where we are. We can get to the actual premise in a second, because I want to go into, you know, what it's about with your father and everything. But first, just logistically, where are we in sort of the timeline of workshopping it versus hopefully hitting the live theater in the fall?
Absolutely. So this is actually a restream of a workshop presentation that we did a couple of months ago. And this is a little bit more than half of the production. And the response was so favorable, was so overwhelming that we decided to go ahead and do this restream again. Even though it's a little bit more than half of the play, it does feel like a full meal. You do feel like you get some sense of beginning, middle, end, even in the in this portion that we're sharing before we go ahead and give people the full production this fall.
Awesome. So you say that it's a workshop version, beginning, middle, end. What exactly does that mean? What do you mean when you say it's a workshop? Is it you know, are they basically audiences get the exciting chance to sort of watch this thing develop as the creative process
exactly.
is happening?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you sort of get a chance to see how the sausage is made, as they say, or get a chance to look under the hood of the car, which a lot of people don't get a chance to do in theater. But because we're in the COVID era, we've decided to go ahead and film something that typically you would never film and share this. You might have a workshop production where you invite a small audience and you do a talk back after. And then typically the full production will be produced sometime in the future. But because we're in this COVID era, we decided to use this as an opportunity to not only workshop the play, but to share part of the story with audiences and to also experiment with how we're sharing stories as theater artists who now cannot gather live. So when you see the stream, we didn't do it at a theater with people. We actually shot it at Baby Whale, which is a restaurant that the director co-owns with her husband. So we shot there, and then we decided to stream it. So aside from just filming the workshop, the director is doing some really exciting things with animation and sort of playing with form. How do we now tell stories in this new way during this, you know, epically insane era that we're living in?
Awesome. Tell me a little bit more about what you said. It was shot some in the restaurant. How many days did the shoot take?
Yeah, so we ended up filming, I think we filmed 3 days, and then we rehearsed for, I think, 3 or 4 days prior to that. So then we shot, each letter is called an episode. So we shot a couple of episodes per evening. And then put those together. Those were edited. And then, you know, that's what the audience will see.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, tell me what it's about. You know, what is the basic logline premise, if you will?
Yeah. So Dare Maple is a series of letters that I've written to my deceased father. So I didn't grow up with my father. I didn't meet him, in fact, until I was 12 years old. And after meeting him, we had a falling out and became estranged. And then 17 years later, after writing a letter to him, I heard back from him, and then we reconciled, fell out of touch again. And then years after that, man, I was on Ancestry.com and made a connection with a cousin of mine. and then found out that my father, Maple, had actually died 3 years prior. So you can only imagine sort of the grief and the mixed bag of emotions that I felt when I got that news. And again, we'd fallen out of touch again. So just grappling with his absence in my life and then the grief of losing your father, all of that weighed heavily on me. So I decided to do something creative with, you know, with everything I was feeling and create this play as a means of sort of connecting with Maple beyond the grave.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen you. I mean, that's powerful stuff. I've seen you describe it as, at least on the website, as the show you've been afraid to write and perform for years.
Absolutely. So
why was now finally the time? Cause I know this has been rattling around in your brain all your life.
Yeah.
So why now?
Yeah, it's weird when people ask me that question. It's hard for me to intellectualize it. It's sort of like asking a flower, well, why'd you decide to bloom, right? It's like it was just time. I felt it in my soul. It was time for me to tell the story. And you know, I've written maybe 8 or 9 full-length plays and countless short plays, but this is certainly the first time that I've decided to actually write a play that is about my life, where, you know, I am the protagonist and people in my life are main characters. So that's sort of scary because you're making the private public. But that's really what artists do anyway, or at least that's what I believe. That's part of our function, is to actually make the personal universal and share those private moments in a way that hopefully people can connect with.
For sure. Now, I know you combine, it's told through these episodes of letters. Some of them are real letters you wrote to your father, and some are imagined, I guess, things you wish you would have written or that you might have after he passed or whatever, if he had lived. Explain how you go about combining, you know, picking through which letters to use and then coming up with the imaginary ones too.
Sure. Most of the play actually is they're fictional letters, but all of the material is based off of real life. So there's a, you know, there's a mixture of realism and then this sort of imagined world or like imagined approach. But in terms of what episodes or what events in my life I decided to sort of center each letter around, these were sort of iconic moments in my life that really defined who I am. So, you know, I share the story about how I lost my virginity. And being in junior high school and getting called the N-word of all things, and how I met my wife, right? So really these sort of definitive moments that, you know, I wish Maple was sort of there to give me some kind of guidance and help. So that's sort of how I decided which events to sort of write about. So again, this is just a workshop. So, not just a workshop, but this is a workshop of the piece. And, there's material certainly that I didn't include in this first section and material that I'm not going to be able to include because, I mean, you don't want the thing to be, you know, five hours long, but you want to try to choose material that you think will resonate most with the audience.
Awesome. Well, if it's, you know, if it's half as fascinating as the teaser, you're in for something, because that teaser is straight fire. I love it. Oh, that is the way that you drop in the, you know, incorrigible nonconformist, like it's it is just blast you, hits you in the face, and then you ends on that note with you going and touching the ground at the grave. Like that teaser, I'm in. I'm hooked.
Thank you. Well, and I'll tell you, man, there's a story behind even the teaser and how we shot that, because we went up to Brooklyn and we went to the neighborhood where I grew up in, and then I visited my father's grave for the first time, and there was a there was a surprise that was waiting for us there at the cemetery, which I'm not going to give away now. Folks will have to wait until the full production, because I, you know, I had to go and write that story and finish the play with actually what happened at the cemetery. But that was a wild experience. Just shooting that trailer itself could be its own play for sure.
Right, right. It's powerful. I'll definitely embed that in the article so folks can watch that. Well, you know, you mentioned, cool. you mentioned, you know, Brooklyn, how you were born there. And since this is so deeply, you know, autobiographical, let's hear a little bit more. Tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself. You know, when did you, you know, when, I guess, when were you born in Brooklyn, and how did you find your way into, yeah. you know, playwriting?
Yeah, yeah. So I was actually born in Manhattan and then grew up in Brooklyn, and was always a creative child, and, you know, was fortunate enough to grow up in a family that really supported the arts and loved the arts and didn't really put any, you know, ceilings over top of my head. So I really felt like anything was possible. So growing up as a kid in Brooklyn, I mean, you know, hip hop was sort of emerging as I was growing up. So I certainly got into hip hop in terms of dance, and then started acting and, you know, school plays and things like that. And then came down to DC to go to school, to go to college. And then sort of eventually stumbled into writing, because I was not seeing the types of roles that I really, you know, wanted to see in terms of representations for, you know, black artists. So I decided to, you know, try my hand at writing my own, and found out that I had some facility for writing. So that's sort of how I got into writing. It sort of came from acting, and then I also direct. So from the writing, you know, I started to get opportunities to direct, and then things sort of organically snowball from there.
Gotcha. So you said you came to, you went to school in DC?
Yeah. So I went to Howard, and then after school, I started working professionally and sort of kicked around and started a band for a while and did that. And like I said, I really sort of organically went from acting to writing and then directing. I mean, and that might be also in part due to my Jamaican upbringing. You know, this idea of having multiple jobs, which is sort of like a stereotype, but there's some truth to, you know, Jamaicans doing many things. And I think it's sort of like a work ethic kind of thing. And it's really the immigrant mentality too, where you come to this country and you figure out a way to make it happen and make your dreams come true.
I love it. I love it. Well, you're making it, you're making them come true. As part of this, I know this. So just so our listeners know, this is, I believe this is your first piece as part of your, it's like a 3-year playwright in residence at Mosaic, right?
Yes. So I'm the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation Playwright in Residence at Mosaic. And this is a 3-year post where I essentially get, you know, paid to write. So I'm on salary, I have health insurance. So, and the timing couldn't have come better. I mean, because this thing just started in July. So that was when we first got into the, you know, the pandemic was still fresh. So the timing of it was really fortuitous.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of your colleagues, my colleagues are out of work right now. And here you are, man. With the blessed, I mean, you get a 3-year residency, you know, maybe some alone time quarantine to let that writing blossom, man. It's the timing is actually, there's some silver linings here for sure. So how did, real quick, just forgive my ignorance of how it works. How did you act? Did you have to apply for that, or were you nominated? Like, how did you actually land that? That's a really sweet gig.
Yeah. So I had to apply for it. So this is, I think, the third cohort. So it's comprised of about, I think there's 15 or so of us in this most recent cohort, started about 6 years ago. And Yeah, I stumbled across the information online, and each playwright has to apply with a theater, and it has to be a theater that has produced your work before. So luckily, Mosaic had recently produced a play of mine, Les Deux Noirs, which ran in rep with Native Son. And I was, you know, I qualified, and I, you know, wrote my letter of interest and artistic statement and all of that good stuff. And thankfully, man, you know, it worked out.
Yeah, that's great. So, all right. So Dear Maple is the first thing in the residency. Do you, I hate to ask what else you're working on, 'cause you're not even, you know, you're still finishing this one up, but do you have sort of arced out in your mind of, you know, what else you'd like to do in the residency, or
there are a few projects that I have in mind. One is to sort of dive back into Les Deux Noirs, which is about the relationship between James Baldwin and Richard Wright in Paris at a Paris cafe after they actually had a falling out over Baldwin's criticism of Native Son. And so that's one project that I'm thinking about. But another project, which we'll see if it gets produced or not, man, but is a musical about Marion Barry, which that I'm excited to dive into, because he's such a fascinating and intriguing, provocative, polarizing man. And I think this area would really appreciate a telling of his story. So that's one idea that's sort of out there, and I have some other ideas out there too. So we'll see. I'm hoping that another one of my plays gets produced there within these 3 years for sure.
Oh, and you can better believe that we'll be reaching back out to hear about that Marion Barry musical and the James Baldwin. Like, you know, man, I would love to, you know, keep following, you know, throughout the whole residency. We get a couple great pieces out of it, I feel like.
Oh, but let's do it. That sounds great.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be your biggest fan. Rah, rah. But first, Dear Maple, for sure. Everyone check that out first. Before I run, just want to make sure I have some of the particulars, like the actual details journalistically. So Maple was, what was your father's full name? Maple what?
Maple Chance.
Maple Chance. Okay, cool. Yeah. Maple Chance. Okay. And do you know the year, sorry, these are more of the boring questions, but do you know the year you reconnected with him and then the year he actually passed?
Oh my goodness. So the year he actually passed was 2014. And I'm actually walking over to his program, which I have from his funeral service. Right. So he passed on May 17th, 2014. And I found out about his death on, I think it was October 30th, 2017.
So 3 years after it had happened.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That's amazing. I'm trying to think what else as I'm glancing over here. I got to ask you, is there a significance to the 24 in your name? Is there a symbol with that?
Yeah. So with 24, it's my birth number. I was born on May 24th. But in the science of numbers, you know, in numerology, that number is said to invite luck, wealth, and prosperity. So I felt like that was a good energy to sort of have as part of your name.
I like it. Well, it's all, you know, it worked for Ken Griffey Jr. So
that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I mean, is there anything else I didn't ask you that maybe I should have? I like to end on that because I feel like sometimes I bury the guy has the better questions than I even asked.
Yeah. I'd say that I would just encourage people to tell their own personal stories, because even as a writer, I've sort of experienced a reinvigorated sense of empowerment by telling my own story. I mean, telling stories, period, is a powerful experience. But I think when you tell your own personal story, there's sort of a magic that's released that can't quite be duplicated. So it's certainly a great way to, you know, heal yourself and heal sort of relationships with people who might not even still be alive, you know. So I think everyone should definitely be encouraged to tell their own stories.
It's so beautifully said, because yeah, I mean, you are the only one who could tell that specific story, and yep. Whoever else, you know, pick any person, everyone has their own story only they can tell. And then, like you're saying, it can then open the door for you to tackle, you know, James Baldwin or Marion Barry. But, you know, it's, you got to start with what you know and write what you know. And that sounds like you did here. So we're looking forward to seeing it. All right. So the workshop version, the latest version, will be restreaming now through January 18th. And then hopefully by the fall. Vaccines, yep. Willing, God knows what will be going on then. I feel like every week's a new surprise.
but
we can't wait to see it. So thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks, man.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Peace. Bye.